Hi, my name is Joseph Lewis.
And I'm LaShonda Lewis.
And you're listening to Life
and Love with the Lewises.
I can't do all that.
Say joy.
Joy.
Sweet joy.
Joy.
I've got joy.
Joy.
Unspeakable joy.
Welcome to the podcast, y'all. Let's Life and Love with the Lewises.
I was ready to go in.
I know. You always ready to go in.
Listen, God has been good.
Okay. But like, it's never at the right time.
It's always the right time.
Randomly going in the bathroom, in the kitchen.
He's good in the bathroom.
In the car on the way to the shop.
Oh, yes, he is. I'm done. I'm not done, but I'm done for now. Okay. It's true.
Welcome to the podcast episode, you guys. It's Life and Love with the Lewises. We're back with another episode. Mm-hmm. We're going to make a commitment to you guys.
Okay. You heard it here first.
When are we recording this?
It is 12:59.
Uh-huh.
October 23rd.
Uh-huh.
On a Monday.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Shonda.
Okay. So we're going to have consistent episodes dropping. We're going to try and do weekly.
Yep.
We're going to try and do weekly. We're going to record on a certain day, drop it on a certain day. You will know that day. I think it's what we're going to record dropping on Tuesdays.
Wednesdays? I think we were saying Wednesdays.
Wednesdays. But, give us some time to
Figure it out.
Yeah. Yes. So that is our commitment to you because we want to steward this well. Like we feel like we have something to offer. We feel like we have an audience and kind of feel like we let you guys down when we don't drop it, you know, so we apologize, but we here for y'all.
Yes, we are.
We are. We are. Anyway, so first of all, how was your week?
My week has been crazy. I am not gonna lie. I, as you know, because you live with me, I've just come through something. I don't know if it was like a bug or some kind of sickness, but I was not feeling good for about a week and a half. Just not myself. And then on top of that, I had to like be well and do everything that I needed to do,
which included
work, being a wife, being a mama,
come on,
being a taxi.
Well,
okay,
let's talk.
Right. And then on top of that, I had to do like music events, so I had to do rehearsals, and then I had to go and sing, which was amazing. I had so much fun. But it seemed like the day after, I sang and I led worship.
Come on, testify.
I was better.
Shondo.
So that tells me that it's not, it wasn't just
a random.
Right. Wasn't just a random thing, but it was like spiritual warfare, attack of the enemy. I really do feel like that because that's not like the first time that that has ever happened to me, but it seems like every time though, I always forget like, oh, this is the enemy. So
yeah.
I think the more that I do it, the more like aware I'm going to be. But man, I wasn't feeling good.
Yeah, the lie.
Golly.
The lie in it all is that it's random.
Right.
You know, the lie is that, you know, this is going to take you out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, worry starts to set in and anxiety starts to set in. And you're like, oh, I don't know what's going on here or what's going on there or whatever, whatever. But and you start to spiral and then you forget that there's an actual enemy out there that has a plan, that has a strategy to get you to be quiet.
Right. And let me tell you, the person that I used to be, which was full of fear, like way more fear than I have or whatever, would have been like, I'm sick. I can't go. I can't do it. You know? And I think the worst thing that you can do at that moment is go on Google and try to figure out what's going on.
WebMD Mayo Clinic.
Listen, and I did that.
Y'all provide some great information, but boy, we be looking at it at the wrong time.
At the wrong time. Because I was like, oh my gosh, I have this. No. I have absolutely this. Not.
I'm going to die in 3 days.
Right, because that's what it's going to boil down to at the end of the day.
One in 200 people have this.
It's you.
I'm me. It's me. Count me.
You are the one.
I know.
Right, so, yeah.
So, so bad. We try to attach these different things to ourselves instead of attaching the name of Jesus. Come on. We say it. We say his name on this channel. All right. So that's awesome.
But how was your week? You was trying to move on. I see you trying to move on. How was your day? Your week?
It was boring.
No, it wasn't. Don't be lying about this podcast.
No, it was busy. It was very busy. Mm-hmm. But I'm really thankful to you and to the employees that we have. It makes it a little bit easier, you know, when you have people that are in your corner, your brother-in-law, you know. My brother-in-law stepped in and helped out and everything like that. So, although it was busy and there was a lot to do, back and forth with the kids and activities and baseball and this and that. A lot. But we made
and shout out to our son because his team was undefeated.
Come on.
What are they, like 11-1 or something?
Yeah, they lost one game, but but hey, you win some, you lose one. Hey, right. Come on.
And don't leave out that you were their coach. You were one of the coaches.
I might have had a little bit to do with their success. You know, it was mostly the kids though. They killed
it. Awesome. They did awesome.
Yep. So let's jump into this topic. We're making really good time. We get this a lot. I think we get this a lot, but it's also an unspoken question. Cause you don't just go out and just be trying to ask people what's their business and, you know, but people do want to know, like, how do you make this thing work? And I think I'd like to cover a couple topics. And when I say this thing, I'm talking about like marriage. I'm talking about, because this is the Life and Love podcast, right? Mm-hmm. So it's all encompassing. So marriage, as many of you know, we run a business called the Irie Cup.
Shameless plug.
This podcast is sponsored by the Irie Cup, the premium loose leaf tea blend in the Northwest suburbs and in the United States. We offer nationwide shipping and an assortment of herbal black and green teas. All right, more on that later. But how do we make this work?
Right.
How do we make this work? Marriage, parenting, which that in itself is just, that's a whole nother beast. Business, our relationships with our friends and things like that. How do we make it work? And so we're going to try and break that down. I will be the first person to tell you that I am not a master at all of this. But I think we have implemented a few things and we have a few ideas that we haven't implemented. We have some success. Oh my gosh. Y'all didn't hear that. All right. We have some success in some areas. We have seen success. We're not editing that. Because that does happen in this relationship. Let me be clear with one person. All right.
Wow.
I'm sorry. And we would love to share that with you guys. So some of the success, some of the wins, and some of the opportunities. And so we hope to share that with you all today. All right.
Yeah.
So how do we make it work?
I think one word that comes to mind for me is intentionality.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've talked about this before on the podcast. Like, we can't say we balance everything. Yeah. It's more of a harmony and just being intentional.
Yep.
I think in one way that I'm intentional in terms of like friendships, me and my friend, we've been friends since we were freshmen in high school and we graduated in 2005 and we have stayed close ever since then and just tried to hang out as often. But as we've grown up, we've had kids, we've gotten married, we obviously have a family of our own and stuff. And so we try to make time for each other at least once, either once a month or once a week, because adding like Irie Cup to the mix has even caused me to be even more busy. And so once a week or once a month or whatever, we set aside time to just catch up, to pray with each other, to do all those things. But we're really intentional, because if we're not, then we're going to grow apart and, you know, we won't have that friendship if we're going to lose it. And I don't want to lose my friends. I think we need friends, especially while being married. I think being married is amazing. It's wonderful. Having a partner is amazing. I wouldn't want to not. But I think having friends is amazing. So being intentional, I think, is super important.
Absolutely. I would 100% agree with you with being intentional. I think there's an intentionality to each one of those topics, whether it be parenting, mm-hmm. whether it be relationships, friends, or even like family members, your relationship with family members, marriage, and in business, there's an intentionality there. I think it's, yeah, like you said, it starts there. And I think another thing that you have to be very intentional about is prayer. Mm-hmm. I think last week or the week before last, and we were kind of like just like there are some financial things going on, and there's some, you know, it can cause some stress, and I think I was just getting to a point where I was like, I actually was talking to Shonda, and I was sitting on the floor, and then I kneeled by the bed, and I was like, whoa, I'm not praying enough. Like, I was in the position of prayer. I wasn't really praying, but I was in the position of prayer.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
And, man, I realized that I'm not praying enough. Mm-hmm. And that's a bar. I think that's a bar. Like, sometimes you have to just find yourself in the position to realize, you know, what your opportunities are. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, I'm so busy that I don't even find myself in the position, like the proper position to pray. Mm-hmm. And so I don't really think about it. But then when I'm in that position, then I was like, whoa, I'm not praying enough. And so there's an intentionality to it. And I'm not saying you have to get on your knees and pray, but like, it made me think about it. And then since thinking about it, I was like, I mentioned it to my wife, I mentioned it to you. And I was like, hey, we got to pray. And then since that point, we wake up in the morning, we'll pray, or what have you. So creating that habit and having intention, having that awareness, being in position, that's like, I think that's half the battle, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. I remember when you came to me and you told me the story about you, you know, kneeling and stuff, and just how we need to pray more. And I think that is one of the most attractive things ever for you to lead spiritually, and just being intentional about that, because we got to take care of all parts of us, not just the outside. We got to take care of the inside. I think that's because that's eternal. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's awesome.
Absolutely. So I think that's a good starting place. Maybe we can drill down into like the topics. So everything that we do, I think it starts with intention, starts with a plan and being in position. And then we can tackle some of these like topics, like, so parenting, how do we make that work? I think parenting over the last few years has looked different, especially since, I would say since the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you know, we had a little bit younger kids. So like, they, you know, they're babies at first, and then they start to grow, they start to walk and everything. And I think one day it just like smacked me in the face, like, yo, the kids are getting older and they need us in different ways than they have before. The conversations that we're having with the kids are, they look much different than they did 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how we're guiding them and how we're kind of like letting them make mistakes, letting them, you know, feel certain emotions and kind of try to encourage them to communicate those emotions and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And so how do you think parenting has looked or how do we make parenting work between us?
I think we're good at tag teaming. We allow each other to play off our strengths. I think you're good at giving good advice, and making time to do the things that the kids like play video games or play catch outside with them, or, you know, things like that, or coming up with things that are fun. I think you're really good at that. I think I like to
lay down the law.
Well, for sure. I lay it out a lot. I make sure everything is working the way that it should. But I think in terms of like structure, but I also encourage the communication piece and allowing them to share and express their feelings and like work them through those things and having those heartfelt, you know, conversations and things like that. But I think overall, I think the blanket statement is we're good at tag teaming. I think we do that well to be present, because it is hard because we're so busy. We've got so much going on. But again, the word is intentional. Because we don't work on like Monday and Sundays, we take those times for family day and we hype it up. We make it a big deal because we don't want the kids to feel like they're forgotten or neglected or anything like that. Or we make other things more important than them. So being intentional, the time that we do have to spend, we make those moments real, real big. Like just the other day when we took our youngest to the farm, we went apple picking, which was super fun. So we got to kind of see her just be super joyful and happy. And she was able to even express like how much the time with us meant. She was like, can we leave the other kids? Can we not pick them up? Like, yeah, no, we can't do that. That's your brother and sister. So, yeah. So making those times that we do have, like free time to spend with the kids, make them real, real big.
Yeah, that's important. That's something that that's one of those things that we've realized in the last few months is like the kids not only need group time with us, mm-hmm. But they need individual time with us. You've had a lot of moments where, like, there's some things that Erica won't say to me, she'll say to you.
Right.
And then same thing with Sammy. I think doing the extracurricular activities with him, like being on the baseball team and stuff like that, that's like his time with me, and we've had some conversations, you know, while we're on the road and commuting to somewhere, mm-hmm. and stuff. And they definitely need, cause they're individuals, you know, right. They're individuals, and they have thoughts, feelings that they won't really share in a group setting.
Right.
Even if it was just the five of us in the living room.
Right. So yeah. Another thing that I can think about, like how we make it work, is we just recently transitioned to a new church, and it has been a beautiful experience. Like it's been absolutely everything that we needed, and God really had his hand on the way that we transitioned out. But we have found that the kids have come into a community of their own where they have really found friends that believe what they believe in, are around the same age group that they're in, like the same things that they like, but also challenge them to live more like Jesus. I think it is a trap to think that parents can only raise their children themselves. And I think this is why we are a part of the church, are a part of community, so that we can kind of do this together to teach our children to go in the right way, so that when they're old that they won't fall away, you know? And so I think the youth group has been a literal answer to prayer for us, because we've prayed for a place where our kids can grow and learn about God, and that is really teaching his word. And they really have found that at this place that we're at.
Yeah, shout out to Christ Community, Huntley Campus. I 100% agree with you. It's the fact is kids are going to have friends. They're going to encounter people in school. in their neighborhood and stuff like that. And sometimes, like, you know, there's some kids out there that are not good for what you are teaching your kids. Like, if, like, there's some things that butt up against how you're teaching your kids, how you're raising your kids. And some of these kids out here are like, they say whatever, they do whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's good to have good influence, around, our kids. And it's good to have, you know, just generally good, good teaching and all of that stuff that mm-hmm. we can, that can reinforce what we're teaching our kids and how we're teaching our kids to live.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there's a lot of things that we've had to fight against or explain, that they've learned in school and, mm-hmm. and all of that stuff. And so, just having that community, so important. That makes parenting work, because we can't do it all by ourselves.
Right.
And, you know, if I think about how I grew up, I didn't learn every single thing from my parents.
Right.
You know, I learned from the environment around me, mm-hmm. or sometimes the kids that are playing basketball at the park, or some people at school, or, you know, just, or different groups. Like, sometimes, like, I was in the Boy Scouts, I was in different, sports teams and stuff like that. So I would learn from, all of those things. And so as parents, we have to put our children in position to, not only learn some of these life lessons, learn what to do, how to be a good person, but also, like, make sure that we keep them away from trouble and bad influences, you know, put them in the right position. So
at least, you know, the best that we can anyway, you know.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, because you're a fool if you think you can block everything. You know, sometimes they have to see what's going on. Like, I remember when 2020 was going on and we would share what was going on and around the world. They have to see some of those things, be exposed to some of those things. But then it's up to us to give them the right context, the right perspective, teach them how to forgive, teach them how to think about some of these things. So, and that takes time.
It does. It takes time.
You have to value it.
Mm-hmm.
So just a little recap. So, like, and we may have similar themes across different topics, but intentionality, valuing that time, I think those are some of the overarching themes here,
mm-hmm.
in how we make something work, make parenting work. What's another?
How do we make it work in marriage?
Mm. So recently, I think we've improved a little bit on communication. Communication makes marriage work. I think that's, like, it's up there with the top three things that would make marriage work. Talking, having that time to share, to be vulnerable with each other, to talk through certain things, is, I think it's, I think our marriage has gone to another level with how we share things, how we understand things, because it's not enough to just say things. You know, you have to listen, you have to understand,
mm-hmm.
understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
You know, so
I agree. I think had we not done the personality test, I think it would have been a lot harder. And also, I think I definitely agree with you about the communication piece, because I think we recently figured out, because we started to work together and then live together, yep. like all of the things, we found out, like, our communication was really a hindrance for us, like, moving forward. And even, like, down to interpreting the meaning of different words and phrases, we had to kind of get an understanding of what that means to each other, because we could actually understand a specific word to be something completely different than what the other person had intended. And that was, and I think kind of still is, a hard place to kind of work through. But I definitely agree that communication is a big thing for us. How we make it work, I think we definitely talk about, we ask each other, okay, what did you mean by this? Or this is what I hear you saying. I remember a few years ago, we went to a marriage, like, counseling, like, group counseling thing at a church. And they were talking to us about how to improve your communication. We were super young. I don't remember how old we were. Probably early 20s or something. Mm-hmm. And they were like, this is how you communicate effectively. You say, oh, this is what I hear you saying. And they were saying some other stuff. And I was like, that's not realistic. Like, right. In the heat of the moment, I just want to respond, or I just want to, you know, have my way or say what I want to say and let it be done. Or and him just listen to me.
Or interpret it the way that I interpret it.
Or interpret it how, because that's the way you said it. So that's how you meant it. And everybody was like, yeah, she's right. And I was like, oops, that's not what I meant. But but now, after some years and some time in marriage, it is really important to go back and say, okay, this is what I'm hearing you say. Am I hearing this correctly? And I've seen, you've seen too, like, it really helps us to be clear yeah. on what we're trying to say. That doesn't mean that there's no attitude. That doesn't mean that there's no hurt feelings. That doesn't mean we don't want to argue back and have our point be the last point that's said. But it does provide some clarity, and I think it does help.
Yeah, it helps to set expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I know where you stand.
Right.
You know, so like, I think, you know, there's some things where I have to hear it a few times.
Same here. Yeah.
But once I understand where you stand on this thing. So simple example, I was doing laundry and, you know, like, I'm like, hey, I want to be a great husband and put away the laundry for my wife. You know, I'm gonna spend a half hour to 45 minutes or whatever.
And shout out to you. Thank you.
And, and, you know, fold up the laundry and put it away, and she won't even have to think about it. So then she comes back and she's like, and I'm talking about you. She's like, yeah, don't get it twisted.
You better make it clear.
Come back and you're like, thanks for doing the laundry, but I don't like the way you put it away. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, and, you know, at first I was like, dang, I'm just not going to do it then, you know, like, but then when you really listen to what she's saying, she likes things put in a certain place so that mm-hmm. she can find it, you know, or, you know, the way that she envisions her drawer to be, it's her drawer, it's not mine, you know, like, right. And so the next time that I was putting away clothes, I folded everything up and left it nice and neatly on her side of the bed. And then I get a lovely text in the morning saying, thank you and appreciate you. Such a great husband, this, this, and that. No complaints. You know, like, she properly communicated her expectations, and she was happy to put her stuff away where she wanted it to be.
Yeah.
You know? And so, right. That's a trivial example, but I think when some of those things are, when those expectations are communicated in a loving way, and then we operate accordingly, you know, it creates less conflict. There's always going to be some degree of conflict in marriages because you're dealing with two people right. that are imperfect.
I think you said something. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. No, I think but, you said yeah. something amazing though. You said, I communicated and you listened. I said something and you listened. That's another part of communication that we had to work on, was listening. Mm-hmm. And I know that I had kind of talked to you about, you know, listening to me or whatever more, but I think over time, as we had these hard, you know, conversations and things like that, I realized that I'm not really good at listening. Like, I think as an introvert, I prided myself on listening super well. Yes. But I think sometimes I would listen for what I wanted to hear, or I would listen, or I would like hear stuff that you did not say because of what was already in my heart, or what I had thought that you had said or making thought that you had meant.
Making me feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. I'm like, did I say that? I didn't say that.
Well, it made me feel a certain way, so I interpreted.
So you must have said it.
I interpreted it that way, and that's what you said. That's what I heard you say. So, and then I had to learn how to take my pride out of what you have said. Do you know what I'm saying by that? Do you know what I mean by that?
Right.
Right. So you could say something and I'd be like, well, he's only saying that because whatever. Well, that's not what you said.
The hard thing for me is, because like before you even get to that point, mm-hmm. is sometimes when you're in the moment, you really can't talk like that in a productive way. And so mm-hmm. the hard thing for me is because like I want to get it done. I want to like if we got an issue, I want to like let's talk about it. Let's solve it so we can move on mm-hmm. or whatever. That happens like 1 out of 10 times.
Solve it and move on.
Yeah. The hard part for me is waiting and for us to be able to have that productive conversations where we're able to listen to what we're saying mm-hmm. and not just listening to how we feel. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's a difficult place for me, but I think how do we make it work? Patience.
Yep.
Communication.
Yeah.
Being clear, setting expectations and stuff. Respect. And doing all of this, right. Being respectful and doing all of this in a loving way, not in a way that's demeaning, not in a way that cuts them down. You know, especially as a husband, husbands are supposed to be, they're supposed to be to love their wives, mm-hmm. to love their wives like Christ loved the church, mm-hmm. To sacrifice for their wives and stuff. And so if I'm setting the tone, if I'm setting the pace that we're going to have some unproductive conversations, guess what? You're going to give me back. You're going to give me unproductiveness back in the form of like attitude or what have you. You know, it can turn into a whole thing. So so that's one way that we make marriage work.
I just want to add on to that as well in terms of like communicating and stuff like that. I read something somewhere where they said that if we keep in mind that we're on the same team and we're fighting the enemy together mm-hmm. or the issue together, that makes
it changes.
It changes your perspective. And I tend to always kind of have that in mind. Like we're on the same team. We're on the same team. We're on the same team. We're not fighting each other. We love each other. You know what I'm saying? That to me really helps. So
yeah. And especially in those moments where you want to read a text message a certain way.
Yep.
And then you remember like, hey, this person is for you.
Yeah.
This person.
He cares about my highest good.
Right. This person wants to, just wants to resolve this and wants to move forward with you, you know? So yes. So, how do we make it work? Patience, communication, dating each other.
Oh, I think my gosh, yes.
I think that comes as a result. Because, like, I think I've been a little bit more forward or forthcoming in letting you know, like, hey, I want to go on a date. I want to go to this place or whatever.
Are you saying that I haven't?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying usually you're the person that says that.
I'm hearing you say.
Oh, snap.
That I am not saying. I'm just wondering.
Oh, man.
No, I hear you.
No, yeah. I think these things come as a result because, like, I think women in general do a really great job with communicating their feelings. And when they have the feeling of wanting to go and do something fun or whatever, they communicate that. But sometimes guys have that same need. They want to do stuff. They want to do, you know, this and that and the other. But it doesn't get often communicated that mm-hmm. way, and then it comes out in other ways. Like they're frustrated because they haven't seen their wife in their favorite dress and their favorite heels, and
you are dropping it.
And you haven't gone to this one place and maybe you're spending too much time with the kids and not enough time with each other. And mm-hmm. all you're aggravated, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever. And it comes out a certain way, but really, really what you want is to go on a nice hot date with your wife, you know, like just have some time. And I think after that, you gotta fix some, you know, attitude adjustment kind of thing. You know, you just, you adjust your attitude. You're like, man, I feel better. I feel happier now. less aggravated. Mm. You're frustrated.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But yes, we're intentional about taking our dates. We actually take dates every week, every Monday. Yep. It used to be 2 times a month, but
no, we have to.
Yeah.
We have to up that. Matter of fact, we finna wrap this podcast up and go take a little date.
I know that's right.
Yep. So in business, now that's maybe this needs its own episode or what have you. Marriage probably does too. But generally in business, we take the same approach as parenting. There's certain things that LaShonda's good at. There's right. certain things that I'm good at. And we play off of each other's strengths.
Right.
Otherwise, we'll do the opposite and get in each other's way and, you know.
Right. Like at first, it was like that. Mm-hmm. And then it took us some time to kind of adjust and also to put it down. Just because somebody is good at one thing doesn't mean that you're not good at it. Just because somebody is better at one thing doesn't mean that you're not good at it. I'm losing my train of thought.
No, I'm picking it right up. So
yeah, it's not just an because, insult to you.
Right. No, it's not an insult. Just because you're good at a lot of things.
Thanks, babe.
You're good at a lot of things. However, you don't have a lot of time to do a lot of things really, really, really well.
Right.
And so, you have to delegate some of the things that, some of the things that you're not good at. And even some of the things that you're okay at.
Right.
And focus on the things that you're really great at and delegate the rest, or trust, you know. And so I think for us, we've been able through, you know, with time and trial and a lot and arguing and, you know, like, yeah, honestly, that's how you write. That's how you find out. You have to figure those things out, and then you have to agree.
Mm-hmm.
You have to agree, even on things of like on topics of when to cut off the business. Like, when do you cut this thing off? Because it can take over, and then you don't have time for dates or for parenting or for family and friends. And so,
right, I think that's a continual challenge that we have to be intentional about, is cutting it off, because we genuinely enjoy what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Really, like,
that's the downside. That's of loving, yeah, what you do.
That's right. And that's crazy, right? Because, mm-hmm, you think, if there's a saying that says, if you do what you love, then you don't have to work a day in your life, or right, something like that. But
right. But you still got to live.
That's true.
But you still got to live.
Because it's still work. Like, yeah.
Right.
Not sure that's 100% true.
And like, I don't know about y'all, but even entrepreneurs that love what they do, that genuinely love what they do, they still got to live. Like, you still got to live a life. You can't just like work all the time.
Absolutely. And it's so tempting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that definitely might be another podcast episode, because we can go on and on and on and on about work.
And marriage.
And marriage. That's why it's life and love over here.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. But I think generally, apart from like all the strategic stuff and how to grow a business and all that stuff, I think being intentional, planning, communicating and delegating is how we make this work. Like we have to, otherwise we're just running around getting in each other's way, doing things like, when you don't have a set of priorities in your business, we may be doing activities that we should be doing on Tuesday and we're doing it on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And as a result, we're not efficient, with what we do. So yeah.
Yeah. I think this was a good podcast episode. I think I want to end this one and record the next one on how we make it work in marriage, 'cause I have some questions for you.
Oh, snap.
All right. So you guys catch us on the next episode. We're super excited. We will be posting this next week. We will be posting weekly. Catch this one this week, y'all. All right, thank y'all. You for joining us.
All right. If you had any like feedback or comments about how you make this work or any tidbits, share it or comment, you know, in the comment section or what have you, and share this with a friend.
Yeah.
All right. All right, you guys. Again, this podcast is sponsored by The Irie Cup. You can shop online at www.theiriecup.com. And we'll see you guys next week.